Good evening. I need your prayers this evening. I've written on the board the word Emmanuel. I think I spelled it right. This evening, I guess what I'd like to maybe do a little bit, it's kind of a more of a my thoughts toward this word, the name, one of the names of Jesus. My mind has been rolling about this, and obviously it's, you know, we're at the beginning of, well, yeah, I guess you'd say we're at the beginning of what we call the Christmas season, and obviously my mind starts going that direction this time of year, and I heard a song that made me start thinking a little differently about about this name of Jesus than I ever had before. You know, I've always thought of it, you know, it says, and I think it's in Matthew, where it says Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And I always thought of that as being not being Jesus' name until he was here physically on earth with us. But I'd like maybe to kind of walk through the scriptures a little bit. So there's going to be a lot of reading, so I'll ask y'all to bear with me. And in several of the scriptures we probably won't turn to, I have them printed out here on a paper, so it kind of saves time because there'll be quite a bit of going through some scriptures. But this by no means is a comprehensive list, or I guess what I would say, this the purpose of this would be maybe a seed thought for you to go spend some time thinking about this on your own and maybe searching the scriptures to see what you think, see what you find about God with us, Emmanuel being God with us. I ask for your prayers that this would come out the way it's in my mind, the way the Lord brought it out to me. It's been a rich blessing to me. So, several Sundays ago, mentioned about Jesus being the bread of life and Jesus being also the Word. And the Word was with God. And in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And then later in that chapter, I think it's in the first chapter of John. I'm actually going to turn there. First chapter of John to kind of start this off. Where it says, and the Word, this is verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, we know this word, Emmanuel, as being one of the names of Jesus. And in Matthew, like I said, it's interpreted being God with us. So, when I think about that, my mind started rolling. And this song, I might read the words of the song a little later. It walks through the Old Testament of how God's ultimate desire is for us to be with him. For him to be able to be with us and for us to be with him. That is his whole desire. You look at the very first two people on this earth. It doesn't say, it's in Genesis 3 and 8, we have the scripture where it says, the voice of God, the word of God, was walking through the garden. And this is after Adam and Eve had sinned. It doesn't sound like they were surprised that he was walking through the garden. So it kind of implies that this was probably a common thing, that in the evening God would come commune with them. They would have regular communication with God, and that's how he created it. He created the Garden of Eden to be live there forever. And if you didn't partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was supposed to be what it was. It was supposed to be an eternal rest with God and communion with him. And sin entered the world and spoiled all that. So from the very beginning, we have evidence of God wanting to be with us. And I say us, I'm talking about humankind. Obviously, we weren't there, but so God was with us in the beginning. He was with us in the garden. He walked with us. He talked with us. So as mankind, that was the very first instance we have of God wanting to be with us, of him being Emmanuel. And like I said, I never thought of it this way before, of God has been Emmanuel. He has been, and he always will be, and he is right now, God with us. And he wants to be God with each one of us. So that's the first instance we kind of see is in Genesis 3:8 says that the voice of God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day. And then, of course, Adam and Eve, they hid themselves because they had just sinned. But from that point, and I'm not going to try to go through all these scriptures, but right after that, you have that God was still with his people. He didn't, as long as you have Abel, who worshiped God and communed with God, you had Enoch, not long after that, who was so close to God that it says that he was not, for God took him. He was so close to God and had such a connection with him that God decided it was time just to bring him on to the other side of the spiritual side of things. Then we have Noah, we have Abraham. So we have a line of people where God was with his people. He has always, well, there's another song that says, God has always had a people. He has always had someone and had people, a remnant of people that he was wanting to, that he was with. And he wants to be with everyone. He wants to be Emmanuel for every person in the world. But there's been a steady line from now all the way to the very beginning of time of his people. And it's, you can trace that line all the way back to Adam and Eve, that there's been a line of people who have been with him and he has been their God and they've been his people. So then we fast forward to Exodus, and this is for your reference, and if anybody wants these lists of scriptures, I can give them to you later. So we fast forward to Exodus 13, where the Israelites are leaving Egypt. And like I said, there's a lot of places in here that we can fill in the gaps, but for the sake of time, maybe go look for other instances of God being with us between these periods of time I'm giving. Exodus 13, 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So whenever he brought them out of Egypt, he once again wanted to be with his people. He took them, they were in captivity, which we all know the type of shadows that this is representing. You know, when he brought them out of Egypt and he was leading them out, we understand that as being the plan of salvation. He brought them out of Egypt, and now he's guiding them and leading them to what we kind of referenced this morning of being the secret place of coming to dwell with him, where he can fully dwell with us, where we can start gaining the ground that he intended us to gain. There, several weeks ago, I had the message about land still to take, and that there's land for us to help take. That's where he was trying to lead the Israelites to that place of where I'm still with you. Yes, you just went through a really, was it 400 years there in captivity, I think. But he would never left them. He never left them. He was still with them. And then he proved that visibly with the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. So the Israelites had a physical reminder of God being with us. They could see that. And they were aware of it. They knew that that was the presence of God leading them. Then that same presence of God, the physical presence disappeared once they made it over across the Jordan River. But he still guided them through the promised land, through conquering one after another. You know, we heard the other Sunday about Joshua. After the failure, the captain of the Lord of hosts came up to Joshua and he spoke to him. And so God was still with them. He was still there visiting them. There was a constant visitation that God was coming to his people, longing to be with his people. He constantly is seeking so he can be Emmanuel to each one of us. And that's what he was doing for the Israelites. All the way through their conquest of the Canaan land, he was Emmanuel. He was God with us as long as he laid out the rules in Deuteronomy. He laid out his conditions for this, that you do these things and you serve me and I will be with you. I will be your God and you'll be my people. You'll conquer what you want to conquer. You'll everywhere you put your foot, it'll be yours, and I'm going to be your God, but you have to be my people for me to be with you, you have to come to me and follow me. So then, God had chose to pursue his people and bring them out of Egypt, to bring them into what we would say now is salvation. And then there was something more that he wanted. So now we fast forward to Exodus 40, to where they had the tabernacle. They built the tabernacle, and Exodus 40 and 34 says, 34 and 35, "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because a cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." So, he wanted a little more. He wanted a place where he could abide. He wanted a place that was meant for him. And so he gave some very specific instructions. And I think he might have even told Moses who to go to. I can't remember. But there were some craftsmen that were to lead all this. And he gave extreme detail on what fabric to use, everything that he wanted in his house. He told them, "I want you to do all these things." And then when they were done and they dedicated it to him, he showed his approval by his presence coming down so strong that it says that Moses was not even able to minister. He wasn't even able to, he wasn't able to enter into the tent of congregation, as a temple where they could not minister. Moses wasn't able to stand. It was the presence of God was so intense there in the tabernacle that Moses couldn't even enter into it. So that was the next step. If God was saying, "Hey, I want to be with you. Make me a place, and I will be with you. Make me a place and do these things. This is how you worship." Because this is after the commandments were given, where he had, now they had, it may have been before, I don't remember. But now they had a place to worship him, to make the sacrifices, to do the things that he commanded them, so that they could be his people and they could follow him and he could be Emmanuel. He has been and always will be Emmanuel, God with us. So then we fast forward to 1 Kings 8, 10 through 11, and we have a very similar account, but this time it's the temple. "And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." So once again, this is at the dedication of the temple. The Israelites had decided it was time to, they had finally quit being nomads, and they were ready to build the Lord a much more permanent structure, and so they did. Solomon was able to, well, David conquered the land, much of Canaan, and Solomon came along, and it was his job to build the temple. And so once again, God put his blessing on that. He put his blessing saying, "I accept what you've done for me. I accept the consecration you've done." Because you look at how much gold went into that temple. That was an expensive building. That was a lot of people putting themselves out to provide this much. I know a lot of it came from the kingdom, but God looked at that and said, "I accept what you've done. I accept what you've given me, and I'm going to dwell here. I appreciate this, and now here I am." And it says his presence was so strong that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. So you had this for, I didn't do the math or the research to remember, but you had this for many, many, many years. This is what it looked like for God to be with us. You had prophets, you had the priests and the temple, and that's what it looked like for God to be with us, is the old law, the sacrifices, the following the commandments, following the, I guess you'd say, the list of rules. But there was also, there is people in that line, though, that had something different, had something more than just the simple following the rules and following the bare minimum. There was still a people that you can follow through, because, you know, as we see, even when the Pharisees and when Jesus came, there was some corruption that happened and somewhere along the line, but there is still a line that we can trace all the way back, that God has always had a people. He has always been Emmanuel, and he always will be. There's a prophecy, but this is kind of where the thought came from. And I am going to read this verse. It's in Isaiah 7. This is where this verse is also quoted, I believe, in Matthew. This is where Isaiah was prophesying the birth of Jesus. It said, verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Now he doesn't say here the interpretation of that being God with us, but that's the same we know by it being quoted later in Matthew, that that's what that meant. So then you have Isaiah saying this. He said, look, there's something coming. There's going to be a virgin birth, and this person is going to be named Emmanuel. Now, I don't know if they knew at that time what that name meant of being God with us, or if they had an understanding of that. But that was one of the steps of God being with us as his people to reminding, say, hey, there's going to be more to this. I know it doesn't look, you're longing for more. You're longing in your heart, you're longing for more. We talked this morning about secret places and the place of rest. His people were longing for more. And so these were God's ways of putting this into them and saying, hey, there's something more coming. My plan isn't complete. There's going to be something, and it's going to be, and this is what it's going to be. He laid it out. There's going to be a virgin birth, and his name is going to be called Emmanuel. So then we fast forward a whole lot. So this is where there's a big gap here. There's a lot of gaps to fill in. When you have the time, I think it'd be good to study this and see where else in this big gap that we're fixing to skip over has God always been Emmanuel. We can trace that line through the scriptures. But we get to Matthew 1 and 23. And this is where I think Matthew quotes Isaiah. Yes, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then, excuse me. And then, of course, we have in John, we read at the very beginning, the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. So this is where my understanding has always been of Emmanuel. Jesus was here, physically. It was obvious that God was with us. And this is where I had always just kind of, my brain had took it as saying, oh, okay, yeah, Emmanuel, God with us, so Jesus coming down with us. But I hadn't thought of it. It's been so much more than that, that he has always been Emmanuel. And he still is Emmanuel. He's still God with us. He's still God with me, if I will. later on, it's in John 14, we were singing a lot about this. This was on my heart this evening while we were singing these songs about rest. And one of them specifically is mentioning about the Comforter. John 14 is where Jesus was talking about, he was telling his disciples that, you know, I'm here with you right now, but I'm fixing to have to leave. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I still want to be with you. And his disciples couldn't grasp it, and I'm going to have to say I probably wouldn't have either. I can't say I've been any better than any of them who they couldn't hardly grasp. They said, well, where are you going? He said, where I'm going, you can't go with me right now. But I've got to go away, but I'm not going to leave you alone. John 14 and 16, let's start there. Let's see. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will still be Emmanuel. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Sounds like he's still with us. That's something I hadn't really picked up on, is still God with us at this point. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Once again, a promise that I will still be Emmanuel to you. I'm still going to be here. Yes, I'm leaving physically, but I still am going to be God with us. And then, verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then this is when he goes on and talks about the peace that he's given is not the world's peace, not as the world giveth, but give I unto you. But let your not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's given us his peace, and he's promising once again all throughout this chapter to remain with us. And that's been such a blessing to me to think of that. Is yes, Jesus was here physically, and yes, he was, so at that time he was Emmanuel. But I hadn't made that connection yet that he promised. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, but the promise here is I'm going away, but I'm coming back in a different form, and I'm going to be with you. We're going to continue to help you. He said, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And then it says, I shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Speaking of the one who seeks the Father, who seeks to be near him and follow him. And he says, I will be with you if you do that. Let's see. Revelations 3 and 20, once again, mentions more about Jesus asking, wanting to be with us. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. Then we have the promise that, yes, he'll be with us here, but then not only does he want to be with us here, and he has been with us from the beginning of time and all through my life, I can see the points that he's been with me, but then he went farther and said, I think it's in the first part of John 14, and his disciples were a little upset by some of the things he's telling them, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. In his Father's house, so it sounds like he's going to be there, and we'll get to be with him, and he'll be with us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God with us. I have found, it kind of gives me chills when I think about the fact that he has always been and will always be through eternity God with us if we choose to. If I choose to be part of that line that we can trace all the way to the back, all the way to the beginning, that God has always had a people. He has always had a line of people that have followed him, who are truly after his heart, who are truly seeking him, that I can consider myself present with him now and for all of eternity. And I don't have to be afraid of that. There's another scripture, I think it's in Revelation. I think it's Revelation 21. Yeah. And I heard a great voice. This is verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be there any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son or daughter." And then we see, and well, I want to read that again in John 17. I think it's John 17, Jesus' prayer for all believers. He, not only has he always been Emmanuel, he has always desired to be Emmanuel for each one of us, and he prayed specifically for each one of us. Let's see, I'm not sure where it's at in here that I was wanting to read. I'm going to start verse 12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the word, in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that they shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." Now remember, this is Jesus praying for each one of us. It says he's praying for the believers. So that is each one of us. And this brings tears to my eyes almost every time I read this passage, to think that Jesus prayed for me. And that's pretty powerful when you think about it. "They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." Emmanuel, God with us. "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am." He has always desired that. He has desired for us, his people, to be with him, that he can be Emmanuel to us, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. He has always been, and will always be, Emmanuel. And he has always wanted me and you and everyone else to claim him as Emmanuel, as God with us. That way we can walk with him. And it's such a sweet thought as we go through this Christmas time, how we think about that. That yes, this is the time that he physically, well, not actually this time, but with this time that we recognize, that he physically was born into this world. So it's easy to think of him as being Emmanuel then, of when he was physically here on this earth. But then when else, and look, I just challenge you to look back through your life. When has he been with you? When have you felt that? When did you first feel that? And then I also challenge you to, you know, like I said, that's not a comprehensive list of scriptures. I just kind of picked a few. The line that travels all the way through time of the people who were God's people, who He was able to be Emmanuel to them, God with us. I want to read this song. It's a beautiful, poetic song. The tune is a little difficult, so it's probably not going to be sung here ever. But in the beginning, you spoke. There was light. Your word formed creation. Your breath gave us life. We walked in the garden, and it brought you delight. How you love to be with us. We were fully alive. You have always been. You will always be Emmanuel. Our fellowship broken as we were deceived. The joy of the garden was now out of reach. You chose to pursue us. You longed for us still. You did not forsake us, and you never will. I find that has been very true in my life, that even when I walked away, he chose to pursue me, and he longed to still be, like as titled the High Priestly Prayer, when he said, I want them to be with me. May they be with me as I am with you. He chose to pursue me, longed for me still. He did not forsake me, and he never will. A pillar of fire that led through the night, the cloud of your glory, no one could deny. We built you a temple, but you wanted more. You longed for a people that could be called yours. Then, in the silence, the word became flesh. Our God dwelt among us, and you gave us your best. You offered communion. You gave up your life. You rose up in victory and healed the divide. The day is soon coming. You will be revealed. Your dream of communion finally fulfilled. We'll see a new heaven. We'll walk a new earth. You will be ours, Lord, and we will be yours. That song has been a blessing to me. To think, and you can kind of see how I pulled the scriptures. I pulled through that. That song has been such a blessing, and I was trying to correlate the verses and the walking through that. But there's so much more, and we just don't have time to break all that down. But the fact that Jesus came, and he wants to be with us so bad, says, you gave us your best. You offered communion, and you gave up your life. He went through the worst of the worst just because, like he said in that prayer, Lord, I want them to be with me. I want to bring them home one day. Let's just let this be a challenge to us that as we go through this Christmas season and then beyond, that we can think about that of he is Emmanuel, and he is longing to be Emmanuel to each one of us. But we have to make that choice that we will dwell with him, and we will, like said before, the bread of life, that we have to consume the bread of life to be a part of him so that he can be in us. So that's my desire. I don't want to fail him, and y'all pray for me that I would be able to maintain that relationship, that God would be with me and me with him. Y'all pray for me.